when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you people may be in the world. It's been a very, very hard week for me, and I'll tell you a little bit about it in just a minute. But first of all, let me tell you, it is August the 8th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Almighty, 2020. We have a humongous show mapped out tonight. Me and Sam have moved heaven and earth trying to make it go smooth. We're going to run about 12 guests through this show over a period of 2 weeks. We've got about six schedules tonight. The very guy who the show is donated, named after, called in tonight. But I know he had good reasons. Simon Roach called in. So that means that if Dr. Hill would grace us, he's on the line right now, we'll keep him over to work with Rich, the Bearded Wonder. We'll keep him on for an hour instead of 30 minutes if he will let us do that. People, just a quick outline. I had to bury my dear younger brother last week in Alabama. They found him over there. He'd been dead a while. If you know anything about death like I do, you never get used to it. I was a combat medic, saw things I shouldn't have seen at a too young age. I worked in the Elvis Presley Memorial Trauma Center, and you see the horrible stuff there. But I'm going to tell you what, you never, ever get used to death. I hate it. I hate death. But I've been out. So if the show doesn't go quite as smooth as possible, I'm still numb. But listen, the show has to go on. What we're doing tonight, I'm going to make this quick. We are doing our third anniversary of the Hurricane Charlottesville, the Battle of Charlottesville. I'm very proud that every single staff member on Blood River Radio, we were there, boots on the ground, up close and personal, locked horns in the middle of that hellish event with the enemy. We took everything they could throw after us. We took human feces, urine, CS gas, pepper spray, any kind of gas you can think of it, tear gas, rocks, clubs. We didn't come out unscathed, but they didn't take our honor. And we went up there. I went up there embedded with the League of the South. I'm a proud member of the League of the South. At the time, I was a very, very proud member of the political cesspool, which I'm still proud of my track record with the political cesspool. And also, Sam Bushman. Sam Bushman got me official credentials. My credentials were as good as anybody on NBC, ABC, CBS. I was very proud of that. Matter of fact, I'm looking at those credentials right now. We went up there with our leader, Michael Hill, who was the founder and director of the League of the South. He is the only person standing. The League of the South is the only organization standing after that of so-called alt-right since that battle. But listen, people, before we go any further, we always say the prayer here on this show, and I'm always so thankful when my dear brother and my leader, General Michael Hill, when he's on the air, he says the prayer. And that's what we're going to do tonight, people. So, Dr. Hill, how are you doing, my dear brother?
Sir, I'm doing just fine. I appreciate you having me on your show again, especially as we approach the third anniversary of Charlottesville.
I would not have it any other way, Dr. Hill, because you know what, like we told the audience then, you were the reason we were there. Sam Bushman from Liberty News Radio James Edwards, when I was with Political Cesspool, they dispatched me there to Charlottesville. I thought it was going to be like a picnic. I thought, I'll have a lot of fun up there. You know, I'll go to this all-expense-paid vacation, going to compound with some good old boys. We'll just have a howl time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it didn't turn out quite that way. You know, Dr. Hill, we made history. I'm so proud. We can tell our great-grandkids, if we live that long, that we were right in the middle. It was a watershed event that happened there, and I could go on about that forever, but I'm not – people didn't come here to hear me, Dr. Hill. They came here to hear you. And if you know, as you may have heard me say, Simon Roach couldn't make it tonight. He was there with us in Charlottesville. He wrote up there with me, Rich Hamlin, Gene Andrews, and Matt Goodwin. We rode up there together, stayed in the compound, and we followed your instructions to the letter. And as you know, Dr. Hill, before we went into Charlottesville, you said the prayer. And Dr. Hill, if you will, I would certainly appreciate it if you would lead Blood River Radio and all of our League of the South brothers, which, as a matter of fact, just about everybody on the show tonight is going to be League of the Southers. And we're going to do another episode next week. One last thing, we have a different clock. Sam Bushman has got us on a different clock, so we have about 6 more minutes of airtime on each hour. So, people, if you will, bow your heads. Dr. Hill is going to lead us in prayer. Go ahead, Dr. Hill.
All right, everybody, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we beseech you to give us grace and mercy. We ask you to give us wisdom and courage as we continue this fight for our people and for our civilization. And we thank you for letting us be in Charlottesville 3 years ago, for guiding and directing us there and bringing us home safely and letting us accomplish the mission that we set out to accomplish, and that is to confront our political enemies in the streets and to show them that there were white men and women, Christians, who were willing to stand up for the gifts that you had given us in your bounty and your mercy. And I pray, Father, that you will let us continue to be courageous, that you will continue to guide and lead us in this fight that we have on our hands, and that you will give us victory in the end. And I pray all these things in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hill. I really appreciate that. As usual, we have to mention we had a couple of donors last week. I just came back from over not too far from Dr. Hill's residence in Alabama. We have, I believe, they never signed their name. I believe it's the National Alliance that we have a fan. They sent us a nice little check. And we also have a fellow. I'll mention his name in the next hour because I don't have the list out here in front of me. But he owns the Poor Boys Upholstery Shop in Rogers, Arkansas. He sent us a donation, too. And they said, keep up the good work, Dr. Hill. And you know what, Dr. Hill, as you well know, you were at the very epicenter of this radio show because we've built it around guys like you. And, you know, I'd just like to say one more thing. You know, Blood River Radio, I'm very proud of it. We don't consider ourselves a radio show. We eventually hope as funds come in, as we get stronger, and we will get stronger, we want to become the only radio show that's really actually morphed into a white civil defense group, similar to maybe expanding upon the League of the South's Southern Defense Force, in which maybe Dr. Hill can explain that to us in a minute, since he's going to be on the whole hour, and actually it's going to be a longer hour. We're going to have a lot more time tonight. So, Dr. Hill, with that, I'll turn it back over to you. Let's see, one more thing. Oh, we have a very nice person who gave us a brand spanking new computer, man. So as soon as I get it hooked up, I'll be able to get me a nice monitor up here. We can pull up news articles, and they give us a computer, a monitor. It's the whole nine yards, man. And that's what happens when you're doing good work, I guess. So we got some people that like us. But anyway, Dr. Hill, proceed any way you want to. I guess I could ask you a few questions before we go to the Southern Defense Force. Although you don't need any questions, I would say, why was the League of the South? Why did we go to Lee Park? What did we hope to accomplish? How much of their goals, if any, did we accomplish? What did we not accomplish? What were the aftermaths of that battle up there that are still plaguing us today? That's just a few questions at the top of my head, Dr. Hill, but you go any way you want to, my commander, my general.
Well, we went up there, Eddie, because it was our duty to do so. We were defending a statue of one of our great heroes, General Robert E. Lee. We were defending it against a rabble of communists, and we have been an anti-communist organization since the very beginning, and we'll continue to be one as long as I'm in charge of the league. We went there to defend that statue and to defend our general culture and heritage as Southerners. And I went there specifically to give one of the speeches. I was asked to do that. And, of course, as you know, events turned out somewhat differently than we had planned. But I've had people who, in the aftermath of all this, of course, we're involved in lawsuits stemming from that. But I've had a lot of people ask me, well, had you known what was going to happen, would you have gone to Charlottesville? And my answer was not just yes, but hell yes. And I'd go back 1,000 times again. Because, first of all, it was our duty to do so. And secondly, I never am going to miss a chance to face down our political enemies in the streets. I mean, that is what men do. And I say men, I mean men and women, too, because we have some awfully courageous women who joined us in Charlottesville as well, and they know who they are. But, you know, we went there to do our duty, and we went down there to face down our political enemies in the streets, and I do it again over and over. The aftermath of it has been not only great pride on my part. I mean, I can't tell you how proud I am of men like Mike Tubbs and Ike Baker. All those guys with the shields, all the ladies who joined us carrying flags. I mean, it was just an amazing demonstration of courage. And I hear your music, so I'll stop.
General Hill, we'll be right back to you. Just hold your thoughts better than I can, and people will be right back to this great groundbreaking operation tonight.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
This is Attorney Jason Ruff, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people, I certainly appreciate you hanging out. Once again, you're listening to Blood River Radio. It is August the 8th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Almighty God, 2020. Dr. Hill said the reason he went to Charlottesville was the same reason we started this radio show. Dr. Hill said that one of the things he'd like to do, one of the things he promised to do, he will always get in the streets to face his enemy anytime he can. And I will just make this briefly. I'm very proud of the Blood River Radio. If you'll go to our website, that is one of the things, that's one of the core promises we've made to our listeners on Blood River Radio, we said that we would not just camp out behind the microphones in a radio studio, even though it's about 101 degrees here where our air conditioner went out again. It's still not dangerous here, but we are going to get in the streets. We promise to take the universities, the churches, and most importantly, the streets. And I second that, what Dr. Hill said. God bless you for that, Dr. Hill. That's one of the reasons I'm such a staunch supporter of the League of the South and you, my general. Go ahead.
Well, look, you know, you can do some valuable work behind a microphone. You can do valuable work on social media. But the most valuable things that we're going to do are going to be done in real life with real flesh and blood people. Our friends against our enemies. So that's what we have to look at. I mean, it's very comfortable, you know, to sit behind a mic or, you know, sit in front of your computer screen. And a lot of people do that because obviously they feel like if they went out in public and did something there that they might be doxxed. And I understand people's situation like that, but I know people who have just said to hell with it. I'm going out anyway. And just taking the chance. And some of these people have jobs to lose, but they were in Charlottesville anyway. And I commend them. I mean, they put it all on the line in the streets against an enemy that overwhelmed us in numbers, but they didn't overwhelm us in courage and spirit because we blew right through them, as the videos show, and I'm very proud of that. I'd go into battle with these people again any time, and I expect that sooner rather than later, we'll have our chance to do it again. As someone tells me on a regular basis, there'll never be another Charlottesville. And no, there won't. It was a one-off thing, a unique event. And thank God we were there, those of us who were. But there will be other events similar to Charlottesville. And we need to be ready for them physically as well as emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. Because these battles are going to come, and we're going to have to be there to fight them. Because right now, there are just a few of us on the front lines who are willing to put ourselves out there and take whatever the consequences may be. And we're holding the line. We're waiting on our fellow white folks to wake up and come and give us some reinforcements. And it's been a hard fight. I mean, you know, I've been doing this in the league for 26 years, and as I've told some people, I've been doing it literally. Fighting communism since 1971, literally. And, you know, it gets, you know, you get tired of looking back over your shoulder waiting for the reinforcements to come, but they're slowly coming. And there's shows like yours that are waking people up. A couple of weeks ago, you and I were at a birthday party for one of our friends, and I met several people there who said, hey, you know, I've been watching what you've been doing for X number of years, and I like it, and I want to support you. So, you know, people like that are coming out every day and giving us the support we need. We need more of it, of course, but I thank all those, particularly those in your listening audience who have seen fit to support us and help us do what we need to do. But, you know, Charlottesville is one of those watershed events, Eddie, and you're right. It's going to be in the history books. And someone said that it might be kind of like Lexington and Concord or Fort Sumter, you know, the prelude to a conflict in which the future of our country and our people are decided. So I was just, you know, overwhelmed with thankfulness to God for letting me be there and letting me be kind of instrumental in helping make this thing happen. So.
With yes, you know, Dr. Hill, you mentioned the people being afraid. I saw just this very day there was a poll taken somewhere, and it said that 62% of the people in the United States feel somewhat like we do. Very few people are as hardcore as we are, but 62% of them are afraid to voice their political opinions because there's so much wrath. So much hatred directed at them. It's not like it was when I was a kid, when Democrats and Republicans would go rabbit hunting together, fishing together. No.
Sure.
Nowadays, if you disagree with these people, with these Satanists, they want to kill you. They want to take your job. They want to just, you know, they want to mess you up, break your rice blow, as Keith used to say. They were not satisfied with that. But I tell those people, you have to come out of that. You have to break that fear. You cannot live in fear. You have to get out there, and God bless you, Dr. Hill. If we can't take the streets, if we can't control our own streets and our own cities for free men, like Dr. Hill has said before, when we were on Market Street, that was a traffic open to, it was a street open to foot traffic for free men, and they were going to try to deny us that, and they're trying to deny us the same freedom elsewhere all over the United States. And one man said, and I agree, that when we let these communist, satanic, Luciferian, Zao Jews come in there and destroy our statues, dig up the graveyards of our ancestors and just defecate on them, and we sit there and don't do anything, then they have achieved the ultimate intimidation, the ultimate insult. And if they do that, if we sit there and put up with that, what would we not put up with? Where is our land in the sand? Dr. Hill. I didn't mean to get too carried away.
No, that's fine. You're saying what needs to be said. I mean, there's only so much a man will take. And unfortunately, a lot of our so-called men out there have taken way too much. I mean, we've been fighting this battle now for a long time, and we've been successful in some ways, and we really haven't had the forces we've needed to be successful in others, but I pray that those forces will be coming to us. But, yeah, we've entered into a different climate politically. It used to be, as you said, that Democrats and Republicans, could, say bad things about one another, but then they'd go bird hunting together. These days, those days are gone. I mean, today, we're going to see when the Democrats come back into power, and they will. They're going to use the full force of the federal government to destroy their enemies. I mean, to destroy their enemies, not just to oppose them politically, but to destroy them. And we had better be prepared for those days.
Yes.
We had better be prepared for those days, because it's really coming.
And, Dr. Hill, like I've tried to tell some of my wealthier friends, there is no hiding. There is no getting away. And I'll give you a classic example that's happened last week. Our friends in Harrison, Arkansas, out from Harrison, Arkansas, out even beyond Zinc, Arkansas, I'm talking about in the middle of nowhere, and Dr. Hill knows where I'm talking about. They are miles from anywhere, and these people worked and scrimped and saved to buy land to get away from all these feral animals so they could raise their children in a good white Christian atmosphere. But what happened? No, they're not going to be allowed to do that, because this Black Lives Matter, and you know what makes me sick, Dr. Hill, is most of the Black Lives Matter are whites. They took buses and came down from St. Louis and from Branson, Missouri, and came out in the godforsaken middle of nowhere to harass these people. They said they were going to burn their houses down, going to burn their church down, they're going to burn them out. Well, they weren't able to, because I'm going to tell you what, them, they had some good old boys over there in Arkansas, armed to the friggin' teeth, and the sheriff's department over in Boone County, Arkansas, probably saved those stupid clowns from getting their heads blown off, because it was a full-time job keeping them from charging. If they charged that 150-man armed to the teeth, malicious, it would have been over with. But anyway, Dr. Hill, the point I was trying to make there is, didn't we get so long-winded, there's no hiding. You people out there listening to this show, you're not going to be able to get away from those people. They are going to kill you. They hate your guts. They hate your children's guts. They hate your grandparents' guts. They'll never rest till you're dead. Back to you, Dr. Hill.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't hide from these people. But the war is here, and they know where you are. I mean, all you have to do to find my address is look up League of the South, and it points you to right where I live. You know, I'm not worried about that. That's been the case for a long time. So,
Dr. Hill, one of these days, I'll get you going. Well, there's the music, Dr. Hill. Please hold on. We're going to go back, and we're going to pick up another League of the South brother, Rich Hamblin, as soon as we come back from this break.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows spent his day on Capitol Hill talking to Democrats who have not budged in their position on coronavirus relief.
Yeah, I think it's interesting just to hear the comments from Senator Schumer and Speaker Pelosi saying that they want a deal when behind closed doors their actions do not indicate the same thing. They can't come up with any significant cuts in their bill. What they want is a $2.5 trillion blank check. We came up here today just to hear the same thing that we've heard repeated for the last 2 weeks.
Republicans and Democrats are mostly split on how to continue to provide support for unemployed Americans, even though both sides continue to say it's a priority. Democrats are still asking for $600 a week for out-of-work individuals, which Republicans say discourage workers from seeking out new employment opportunities. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by August 31st, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have. And start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx told several state and local officials to get on top of it this week in those cities seeking increases in the trend of positive COVID-19 cases. Birx warned the leaders of the nine cities, Atlanta, Omaha, Nebraska, Boston, Kansas City, Portland, Oregon, Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, and D.C. during private calls, according to the Center for Public Integrity. Birx is also concerned about California's Central Valley. Brent Socroft, an architect of American foreign policy during the Cold War and national security advisor to Presidents Gerald Ford and George H.W. Bush, has died at the age of 95. Socroft was a retired lieutenant general in the U.S. Air Force. Socroft served as military aide to President Richard Nixon and was chosen by Mr. Ford to serve as national security advisor after President Nixon's resignation. He oversaw the evacuation of American officials from Vietnam in 1975. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, thank you so much for holding on. Like we said before, you are listening to Blood River Radio. We are the only radio station in the United States or in the world that I know of that had every single one of our staff members were in the field, boots on the ground, up close and personal, locked at the belt with the enemy at the Battle of Charlottesville in that fateful day of 8/12/17, and we really, one of the things that's very special to us tonight at Blood River Radio is because every one of us, except Jacob, every one of us are members of the League of the South, and I take very special pride in that. So naturally, being at the Battle of Charlottesville would be special to anybody that was there, especially if you were there as the League of the South. And our brother we're bringing on right now, Rich Hamblin, I like to call him the Bearded Wonder. He has soldiered on through a lot of surgery here recently. He's been complaining about having this knot in his chest with his pacemaker, but it seems like they've got it fixed. You know, he's had quadruple bypass surgery, had a pacemaker put in, but he has survived all that. And we're bringing him on the radio right now to do commentary with Dr. Hill. How are you doing tonight, Rich?
Well, I'm doing fine, Eddie. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on and tolerating me. You know, I really appreciate that. If you know, if you've been listening, we got Dr. Hill on. He was the president of the League of the South. Matter of fact, Rich is the one that I thought he was coercing me at one time. We were down there at Wetumpka, Alabama about 3 years ago. And, man, I was broke. Me and Lee Cochran borrowed money to come down there. And we had to get in the League of the South. There was no getting out of that building. I was afraid Rich was going to do us in. But, no, all joking aside, it was the best money we ever spent getting in the League of the South. But, Rich, I'm sure you've been listening. Would you have any commentary, any questions, any comments you'd like to make to Michael Hill, to General Michael Hill?
Well, Mike is going to be on the show with you. A long time no see, I guess. It was just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, good to be on with you. Yeah, we were at the birthday party a couple of weeks ago. Good to hear from you again, Rick.
Yeah, we've known each other a long time. I guess I joined the league in maybe 95, I guess it was.
It's been a while.
At the national convention that you had up in Nashville. So it's we see a lot of changes, a lot of things happening in that last, hard to believe, 25 years.
Yeah, we have.
It's hard to believe it's been 3 years since Charlottesville. I mean, that's It's been a whirlwind, and the country's experiencing a lot of things that we experienced there at Charlottesville and in spades, and it's just kind of amazing to me what's happened. And but you know something, I don't think I've had a single of my conservative friends or family come up to me and say, "Well, you know, we know what you boys were up against there at Charlottesville. Now, you know, we're proud of you." I mean, that hadn't happened.
It hasn't happened for me either. maybe one day.
So, I mean, there's a lot of lessons to be learned, I guess, from this experience. And I think it's set a lot of people back. One of the things that's happened, I guess, is kind of like whatever there existed of Unite the Right is kind of disappeared. I mean, people have scattered. People who were leaders are gone. Organizations that used to exist were gone. I mean, one thing constant, I guess, has been the league. The league has stuck on and soldiered through because I think we're a lot more grounded than a lot of these men that were up there. And so I'm hoping, you know, this will cause some kind of follow through. But as being a being an observer of politics and having been through the system myself, I'm really kind of discouraged at the way the American public is reacting these days.
Well, I am too, Rich. It's almost like they're in denial. You know, it's almost like, too, that they're going to have to experience what we experienced in Charlottesville firsthand before they really get it. But, yeah, I appreciate you saying what you said about the league. You know, we are pretty well grounded, and it's thanks to the caliber of the members that we have that we're still around after Charlottesville.
Yeah, I remember that. Of course, I introduced Simon Roche to you at the league conference right before we went up there, and of course, I talked Simon and Eddie and Gene Andrews and Matthew
That's
joined
right.
in. We all drove up there for the event. Gene and I kind of looked at it as the way, you know, if not now, when? You know, we got to make a stand somewhere, and we did that. Another compliment to the league is that Simon remarked that one of the reasons that the Sightlanders and his group in South Africa are so fond of the league is that we were probably, you know, the only group that actually had a group prayer before going into battle. You know, I'm not sure all the other groups are kind of militantly, militantly or not so militantly atheists. You know, and not really weren't really pushing that part of the story. And you know, and we're basically in defense of Western civilization. And you know, and a lot of people on the alt-right just don't realize that you can't have Western civilization without Christianity. I mean, it's an integral part of it.
No, that's right. Western civilization is Christendom, and
yeah.
I have never gone into battle, literally or figuratively, without praying beforehand, Rich.
Yeah, and I thank God we all got out of there with our skins intact, and there were a few people that were victims of unfortunate circumstances. But the main thing that people need to pull up all this is that, you know, everybody in the power structure is hostile toward us, or at least on anything above the local level. I mean, we may get some support out of some local sheriffs and people like that, but when you start getting up beyond that grade, I mean, they're actively fighting against us. You know, I mean, Charlottesville was a trap in a great extent, but nobody and me included, and I don't think you either, expected to happen what happened. I mean, we went up there with a court order from a federal judge, you know, allowing us to have our assembly up there, our peaceful assembly. And we were peaceful. It was the other side that was throwing the punches, and you know, we carried defensive items only because, for God's sake, I mean, we could watch what happened in Berkeley and other places that these free speech rallies where the people that were pushing for free speech were getting pelted by rocks and, you know, cobblestones and that kind of stuff, frozen bottles of water and having all kinds of matter of crap thrown on them. You know, and anybody who tried to maintain that we were the aggressors up there, it's just, you know, they're talking out their ass and they don't really know exactly, you know, what's what.
Yeah, they either were not there or haven't taken a close look at the videos, because it clearly shows who the aggressors were. Now, we went up there knowing full well that there was a chance of violence, and that's why we had shields and helmets and things like that.
Oh, sure. I wore a helmet, and I mean, everybody I was with, I gave them the opportunity to wear a helmet. And, sure. First thing that happened to Matthew Goodwin when he walked up there is he got hit in the head with some kind of pink concoction that splattered on his helmet and down his shirt. So, I mean, right. it was very real. But the power structure up there, I mean, they were set up. I mean, they were conspiring. And the really disheartening thing is, disheartening may not be the word. The real cynical thing is that nothing has happened to the perpetrators of this disaster. Meaning the state police and the governor and the mayor. I mean, at the worst, somebody's been made to resign or whatever. The opposition is very—they're very well organized. They're very well funded. I got to hand that to them. They're innovative in a lot of this stuff, and they got deep pockets, which you can be innovative when you got a lot of money, as you're experiencing with this bout of lawfare that the league's facing.
Oh yeah, those Jews have deep pockets, yep, when it comes to things like this, and they're not. This is one thing that they're not shy about spending their money on.
Yeah, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it surface all over the country. I mean, all these, all the narrative is controlled, of course, by the lying press or the Zionist Jewish controlled media, and the normies are frightened. I mean, I was at the Forest Homecoming in June, and it was a good turnout, and I think they raised a good amount of money for the restoration of the home down there, but the normies, and I mean, I'm talking about like the mainstream conservatives that you would find in the SCV, which are probably much more conservative, of course, than anyone else out there in the population. I mean, they were, at least on a leadership level, they're just kind of at a loss as to what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I turned to somebody next to me, and I said, during that prayer, and I said, well, I know what to do. I'm just wondering how many people want to do it with me.
That's right. Yeah, General Forrest would have known what to do, too, so.
Yeah, I mean, here in Tennessee, they're trying to remove the Forrest bus from the state capitol. It's been up there since the early 70s, I believe. Of course, Nathan Bedford Forrest's birthday is no longer a state holiday as it once was. So starting from the 30s, now just a day of recognition. And I'm not even sure that the governor, the scalawag governor that we have, even signed the proclamation declaring it a day of recognition, as he's required to do by law. Well, I hear the music coming up, so we'll.
Well, brothers, the music is coming up, like one of you guys mentioned, and we're getting ready to come back from the break, and I ask you guys a question, and I'll let you guys rock and roll because y'all are really doing a good job. People, hold on. Dear listeners, hold on. We'll be right back.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee, 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
People, welcome right back during the break. Right before we went to the break, I thought, where the hell is that ringing coming from? It was yours truly, the Dumb Bunny of the Year. I have my phone in here. I usually don't have it on ring, but we were talking to another dear brother, Gene Andrews. Everybody in the league knows Gene Andrews. I'm his right-hand man. But anyway, guys, I'm just going to ask, I'll ask Dr. Hill a question. You guys can answer it any way you want to. Why? We all know, all the government, even the city council, which is all black here in Memphis, but if you go to any state, any government, even in Harrison, Arkansas, the mayor over there, little podunk Harrison, Arkansas, they're anti-white. State, local, county, federal, to the man, they're totally anti. I label them as antichrist. And just a quick example of what I'm talking about. We have this dear congressman. He's the son of Abraham, David Kustoff, who about a year ago went before Congress and demanded that the goyim will vote in unison to make it. They passed a resolution, probably sooner or later become law, where it will be against the law, probably a felony, to even criticize the state of Israel or a Jew. So, starting with you, Dr. Hill, why is all the Congress, all the entire government apparatus, why are they in lockstep? And they're obviously antichrist. They hate Christians. They hate white people. Why is that, Dr. Hill?
Well, let me make a correction. Let me make a correction first, sir. That Jew you're talking about ain't a son of Abraham. He's a son of Satan.
Yes, sir.
And I can tell you why I think that even small town politicians are anti-white, or even if they're really not anti-white, they have to play like they are. And that is because the local press is owned by the Jews. I mean, let me give you an example. I live in Killen, which is a suburb of Florence, Alabama, which is about 40,000 people. And the Florence Times Daily newspaper is owned by the New York Times. So, who do you think they take their marching orders from? They take their marching orders from Jews. And the local politicians around here don't want to see their names in the paper in a negative way. So they kowtow to the Jew position, which is anti-white. And that's a very simple explanation of why we see this phenomenon happening.
Yes. Rich, my brother, let me ask you this. As you mentioned earlier, that you knew what to do, you knew what you'd like to do, but you couldn't get people to join you. I'll just say, what are some of the things we can do? People that are afraid, people that that can't get out in the street and battle just yet. What are some of the things they can do? And let's see, my second question would be, Rich, what did you learn, if this isn't too in-depth of a question, what did you learn in Charlottesville that could help our people combat our enemies in any way possible in the future? Fire away.
Well, Eddie, that's the $64,000 question. If I knew the answer to that, to either one of those, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here in my house talking to you, trying to make a living as a glass man, a broken down old glass man. What can people do? I mean, people can get, number one, they can get over their fears of ostracism, but social ostracism is a mighty big pressure in the United States. I mean, it's a, I was thinking back as Dr. Hill was speaking, or even before, that one of the, you know, one of the main changes in American society is that this is what happens when you let the Chamber of Commerce basically take over your affairs, your government, you know, run things and write the laws and everything else. Everything becomes, it becomes commercialized. The League, of course, has been talking about this, you know, in the fine tradition of the Southern Agrarians from the 1930s. For a long time, I remember sitting through presentations at the League national meetings and hearing voices, academics making very powerful cases, decrying all this kind of the way that things have turned out, and to people to get back to their roots. I think the League probably comes closer than any other organization to doing that, but it's a hard road to travel because, as Dr. Hill said, the press is on lockstep. The thank the federal government for that. From, you know, when Clinton signed into law the ban on the restriction of ownership of newspapers. I mean, all the media in the United States is owned by probably six large corporations. You know, it used to be you couldn't be vertically integrated like that and have multiple. You couldn't be in multiple markets if you owned a television station. But now every one of them is owned by a small group of people, and they. And they march to the same drumbeat, and they read from the same script. I mean, there have been YouTube videos that prove this. When a story breaks, you go to newscasts from, let's say, 50 different places in the United States, and the news crews are all saying the same thing. It's gotten to the point now where I don't even look at the local news. I used to watch it for the weather forecast. I mean, that was kind of normal. But even now, it's especially with all this coronavirus, this hysteria that they've been pumping up, I don't even watch that anymore. We just look on a website and try to find out what the forecast is and what do we need on that. Because local news is just worthless. And the Tennessean is the same way. The Banner used to be a conservative paper, and when the owner died, the Nashville Banner, when the owner passed away, then it passed into the hands of its arch enemy, John J. Hooker, believe it or not. And then USA Today used it as a stepping stone to Gannett. Use it as a stepping stone to get into the national market, and they bought, the Banner, and then they got control of the Tennessean. And once they got control of the Tennessean, they just let the Banner wither away and die. So Nashville's a one paper town, like most places are, or they're all the papers are in lockstep because they're owned by the same people. And you don't see local reporters anymore; it's always somebody from out of state that they bring in to head up the organization or do the beat reporting and all this kind of stuff. So it's daunting. There's a video floating around the internet right now from Yuri Bezmenov, who was a Soviet defector from the 70s, and he did a series of lectures which are on VHS and now have been turned into digital, going through the detail and the steps of how to subvert a society. And he mentions all these things, and Dr. Hill and I are, I'm old, but I'm not quite as old as he is, not to say that he's terribly old, but we've been around long enough.
I'm older than both of y'all.
We've been around long enough to see all this stuff happen in our face, you know, and the young people that are coming up through that are products of the educational system or the society in general, because, popular culture is run by the Jews. You know, the Jews are the biggest promoters of rap music and the nigrification of American culture is what I call it, starting back in the 50s. I mean, they were always, you know, back then they were beating the drum that being a black jazz musician was cool, you know, and we all want you little white kids to be like that. So, I mean, it's been I'm getting on a rant here, I'm sorry, but it's been it's a long process, but it's happened everywhere. I wish Simon were here because he could address the issues in South Africa. I've become pretty interested in the recent history of South Africa, meaning the last 25 years, trying to figure out, or 40 years more likely, most likely, last 40 years, trying to figure out just exactly what happened down there, how the people lost their nerve and let all this stuff occur. because now, you know, a lot of conservatives will say, oh, well, we just let, you know, we're, it's our fault we didn't vote, we let this happen. Well, that kind of ignores the fact that there is an active enemy out there that's working to undermine our interests and to actually exterminate us, because they don't want free people. They don't want people to think independently. They just want little cogs. I mean, and we're going back to John Dewey, you know, and Thomas Mann and the theories behind American public education. I mean, as you know, as bad as the product of the public school is, parents still, like good little sheep, send their children there to be indoctrinated. And it just, you know, maybe I'm old and I've seen these things happen and I see where they're leading. But as far as any positive things for the future, I think, you know, to be quite honest, I think things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. And, excuse me, go ahead.
That enemy you mentioned is actually Satan. That's why he's so almost impossible to defeat, and he's led by his sons here on Earth.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's the synagogue of Satan. It's the same thing that our Lord and Savior talked about. You know, it's right there in the Bible. Well, now, you know, the Jews want to censor the New Testament as being anti-Semitic. I mean, this stuff is really insidious, and most people divided, they're atomized, atomized is a good word, I guess. Nobody really has any real sense of community anymore, so that nobody, you know, they don't band together. I remember when, you know, in the late 60s when busing came in to Nashville, there was a pretty heavy reaction against it among the population in Nashville. But, we don't see that things happening now. In fact, earlier this year, I never thought I would see an attempt being made to burn down the Nashville courthouse.
My God, and they're doing it too. And, you know, before we get run out of the time, I would like to make a comment. You mentioned that we need to get back to an agrarian society. Well, Gene, my blood brother, Gene Andrews, is selling books for the Forest Home. And the name of the book is I'll Take My Stand. We'll have him on later. I hope we don't forget to get him to push that book. You get him for $20. But anyway, I paid $2,000 for one. I sent him a blank check, and he put in $2,000. I only got 37 cents left in my bank account. He said if he'd have known we had 37 cents left, he's going to send some guys to come back and break my legs to get that 37 cents. But anyway, Dr. Hill, before we close, you mentioned Charlottesville. And there may never be any more Charlottesville. Well, you know, I want to do a program for too long called From Chicago to Charlottesville to Zinc, where to from now? You know, before Charlottesville, there was Chicago. Are you familiar with what happened in Chicago, Dr. Hill? Back in about 94, 95?
Yeah, exactly. I know what happened there. Yeah.
Well, you know, probably, and I'll run this by you, Dr. Hill. Were it not for the fact that what happened, most of our young people have never heard of Chicago, what went on there, and the heroes we have in our brotherhood there, it's because that was really before the internet got going big. You know, there was no way to get the, now we can get news out on our own. That comment, Dr. Hill, also, Dr. Hill, it seems impossible, but my Lord, is there any way us Christians can get a hold of our own newspaper, or there are not any billionaire fat cats out there that we can get them? I guess what I'm saying, how on earth can we get a hold of some of our own newspaper, our own television stations? Is that totally impossible, Dr. Hill? We're about out of time, but go ahead, Dr.
Right,
Hill.
Right now, I think it probably is in a meaningful way. So I think we're going to have to find a way around all this. And a lot of it's going to have to do with the face-to-face communication with people on the local level. And that's a slow way, but that's the surest way you can do
this. Yes, I agree with that.
That's what we've been doing. People, you hear the music. We've had Dr. Hill on and our brother Rich on. And now we're getting ready to transition to the second hour. And we're going to pick up Ike Baker, the chief of operations of the League of the South. And he's going to be paired with Jacob Tyler, our other co-host. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Thank you, Rich. I'll be getting in touch with you brothers again very soon. Thank you guys for coming on and bailing me out. Thank you so much. People will be right back. Hold on to your seats. Go get some coffee. This break's not going to be quite as short as they usually are. I mean, it's quite as long. Excuse me. Bye-bye.